Praise God. Hope everyone's doing wonderful this week. Amen. I know I took a few days off after camp meeting, and I'm excited about that. You know, camp meeting was a wonderful time, but sometimes it's a little tiresome on the body as well. But we had a great week last week. How many of you guys enjoyed camp meeting last week? Wonderful time. You know, ministry, and you know, it was wonderful to see people coming from all over, well, all over the nation, much all over the world, but that was here together here at camp meeting. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to call this an old school Wednesday night. Old school, and you'll get my drift in a minute. But you know, on Friday night of camp meeting, they were talking about Trish Hankins was talking about Brother Hagin's testimony and whenever he walked off the deathbed, and it just got me thinking about Mark chapter 11 and how much obviously it changed his life. Obviously, it changed my life, because if my grandfather would have died that day, I wouldn't be here. All right. And many of you might have not been here either if he wouldn't have lived and if he would have died on that deathbed. But, you know, it was interesting, because just because he got a hold of the Bible and began to read the Bible, and the story goes, he got his, what he called his grandfather's Methodist Bible, and he looked at it and said, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. The Old Testament looked a lot bigger, you know, and he goes, I might not make it through the Old, so let me start with the New. And he began to read, starting in Matthew chapter 1. And then he got to Mark chapter 11, and he got to a couple verses that changed his life. And obviously, they're the keynote verses for our ministry, because they did change his life. And, you know, when I was just thinking about those verses and how much they mean not only to us but to the ministry, and started thinking, you know, I'm not sure when the last time I spoke on those verses are. So tonight we're going to speak from Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 22, from the King James Version. All right, I'm going to read it from the King James. That's the way I learned it, and that's the way Brother Hagin read it that day, was that he was reading from the King James. And some people want to know why our legacy Bible is in the King James, because, you know, that's the Bible he always read. He always read from the King James Version. And there's nothing wrong with reading from newer translations, and normally I do. But tonight we're going to go old school, and we're going to read from the King James. And it's okay to have some wherefores and whens and those kind of things. Doesn't really matter. But Mark chapter 11, I'm going to start with verse number 22. And it says, "And Jesus answered, saith unto them," talking about his disciples, "have faith in God." And most of you know that that is my keynote scripture, because if we don't have faith in God, it doesn't matter what else happens. Our faith has to be in God alone. And so the thing is a lot of times whenever we're speaking to our problems and speaking to our mountains, we have to realize that we're speaking with our faith in God. We're not going to change our problems. We're not going to change our mountains. God is. God is with us. And he's changing our situation. And our faith is grounded in God. Or like it says on your money, in God we trust. And so we have to understand, it's all because of God. It's not because you're special. It's not because you're saying it right or believing it right. It's because of God. Our faith is in him. You know, and he is changing our situation. Not he will, he is. And sometimes we need to think about that, because sometimes we're thinking, well, God is going to change my situation. Well, that's not faith. Going is not faith. Faith is always now, according to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. Going is in the future. Faith is now. God is changing your situation. Jesus Christ has already died upon the cross, taken away your sickness and disease. He's not going to take it away again. He's already taken it away. But your situation is changing if you believe. And if you speak to your situation. Now, you know, one translation of this is have the God kind of faith. And I always talk about this, so I'm going to talk about the God kind of faith, because it's, you know, one day I was praying and seeking God, and I was, you know, and I asked God, what is a God kind of faith? You know, The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Ask what we will, it shall be done. So when I asked God what the God kind of faith was, he took me to Genesis, to the beginning. In the beginning, you know, the earth was null and void. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That was the God kind of faith. You know, God said it, God believed it, and God had it. Just that simple. You know, notice that God did not go on a 40-day fast whenever he said, let there be light. You realize that? And you know, nothing wrong with going on a fast. Nothing wrong with fasting and praying or praying fast. It doesn't matter. But the thing is that God spoke the word and things changed. Why? Because he believed they would change, and they did. The light came on. Notice God did not give an offering to himself. Obviously, if you have to give an offering to himself. Nothing wrong with giving offerings. But we, the God kind of faith, is just speaking the word. And that's what Jesus is talking about, the God kind of faith. Speaking the word only. Speaking the word over your situation. Speaking the word over your life. Speaking the word over any kind of mountain that comes your way, whether they're physical, financial, emotional, or any kind of mountain that comes your way. You know, and a lot of times mountains pop up and we don't do anything about it. We think, well, maybe somebody else will speak to it. Maybe enough other people will speak to it. You know, maybe the pastor can speak to it. You realize it's your mountain, not mine. And I'm here to tell you, I believe that you care more about your mountain than I care about your mountain. Not that I don't care. But if you're going through something, you care more about it than anybody else. Because it's your situation. It's your problem. It's your mountain. So we're going to go to verse 23. It says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I remember, I don't know how many times that I've heard my grandfather say that whosoever means me. I am a whosoever. You are a whosoever. It says that whosoever shall say, because some people think, well, this verse was only for the disciples. No, it wasn't. It was for a whosoever. All right. Or modern translation is whoever. But I mean, you know, it's for you. You have to understand that this verse belongs to you. And that's what Brother Hagin, I'll call him Brother Hagin so you don't know, it's my grandfather. But that's what he did on the deathbed. He understood that he was a whosoever. He understood that he can speak to his situation. And he had authority over that situation because he was using the God kind of faith. So you know what? First of all, we have to realize that we have authority. We have to realize that we're a whosoever. Then we have to realize that we can speak to our mountain. All right? You can speak to your mountain. It doesn't say, notice it doesn't say, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall call his pastor and have them speak into your mountain, then it will be removed. He didn't say that. But that's how a lot of people read it. They're like, well, if I call somebody, or if I text somebody, or if I get somebody else, somebody that's more spiritual than me. See, you're actually thinking that you're not spiritual enough. Right. Are you a whosoever? Right. Do you have the same God that I have? God's no respecter of persons. Right. Just like he loves me, he also loves you. And if he loves me, he doesn't want me to have any kind of mountainous problems. And he loves you and doesn't want you to have a mountainous problem either. And he's waiting for you to speak to your problem so he can work. Do you realize that? He needs you to ask. He needs you to speak. He needs you to do something so he can act. It's up to you. It's up to you, because if you were there Friday night, that they had Dad also talk about the time that my grandfather had a vision, and the Lord was talking to him, and there was two what he calls imp-like monkey-looking creatures that kept making so much noise. You know, and he said he was having trouble hearing Jesus, and he thought Jesus was going to do something about it, but finally he just got mad, and he says, "I command you to go in the name of Jesus." And they just flew off. And he was able to hear. And Jesus says, "Well, I'm glad you did something, because I couldn't have." And Brother Hagin says, "You mean you wouldn't have, right?" And he goes, "No, I couldn't have, because all authority has been given to you." Amen. See, we have the authority. We have the authority. That's why that Jesus can't make us get saved. We have to ask. It all started in the Garden of Eden when they ate of the tree. Then, you know, before that, we didn't have a choice. But after that, we have a choice. And we can choose to be healed or not to be healed. We can choose to be saved or not to be saved. But it's up to us to ask. It's up to us to speak. It's up to us to take, you know, what belongs to us and to speak to our situation. Now, the most prevalent situation that we have right now facing all of us is COVID-19. I speak to that mountain every day, multiple times. And the more I hear that people, you know, have got diagnosed with it, the more I speak against it. You know, and I can keep speaking against it. It cannot live in my body. It has no right to live in my body. My body doesn't have viruses or doesn't need viruses. You know, I don't know how many times I heard my grandfather would say this. You know, the last headache I had was August of 1933. Anybody hear him say that? Well, he lived a long time after that. And then, but he would say, "Well, I passed up many marvelous opportunities to have a headache." So one day he was in my office and I asked him, Papa, I called him Papa. I said, "What is a marvelous opportunity to have a headache?" He said, "Well, every once in a while my head would start to hurt." And I would say, "No, you don't, in the name of Jesus." He said, "Sometimes it would leave immediately. Sometimes it would take a couple hours, but it always left." See, the point is not how long it took, but it always left. Why did it leave? Because he spoke to his mountain. He spoke to his headache. He spoke to his disease, his virus, whatever it might be. And it always left. It always left, he said. Why did it leave? Because when he spoke the word, he expected it to leave. Every time. Every time I speak the word, I expect things to change. Why? Because I have the God kind of faith. Because I have the authority. Because I'm a whosoever. And I can speak to my mountain. It's my mountain, so I have the authority to speak to it. It's not your mountain. This mountain's my mountain. I can speak to it. I don't need you to speak to my mountain. I don't need anybody to speak to my mountain. I can speak to my own mountain. You know, a lot of people also, I mean, you know, they think, well, they need somebody else. You don't need anybody else. I know that there's scripture that says, you know, two or more agree, and those are good scriptures too, but you don't have to even have two. You just have to need one. You. Mr. Whosoever, Mrs. Whosoever. And you speak to your situation. Now, notice he always would point out, as you read this, that the speaking, the whosoever, the person doing the speaking, you know, there's three times where you do the speaking, only one time where there's believing. He says this, that whosoever shall say, that's one, you're saying to this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith," there's two, "shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." There's three times that the word "say" is there in some form. So what does that mean? We need to say. And we need to speak. And we need to keep speaking. Yes, we do need to believe, but we need to speak. And we keep speaking the word, and we keep speaking the word. And if things aren't changing, you know what we do? We keep speaking the word. And we keep speaking the word. And we keep speaking the word. And we believe, but we keep speaking the word. And we keep speaking the word. And we keep speaking the word. And when things don't change, what do? We keep speaking the word. And we keep speaking the word. And we keep speaking the word. Now we believe, but we also keep speaking the word. You know, it's kind of like the having done all. What do? We stand and we keep speaking. 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 Well, what else we do, Craig? We keep speaking. And we keep speaking. And we keep speaking. Why? Because the Bible says if we keep speaking, that things have to change. Well, but they haven't changed yet. Look, that's okay. It doesn't matter. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what's going on around about us. We know what the Bible says. And I don't know how many times my grandfather says that I'm a stickler for the word of God. The Bible says it. I believe, and that settles it. We either believe the word or we don't believe the word. And I'm tired of people not believing the word because I'm tired of the negativity. I've heard a lot of negativity, even among born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians. A lot of people that are so negative about everything. Well, and some people get mad at me because I'm too positive. I'm positive what the Word of God says. I can be positive when the Word of God, see, I got the Word of God to back me up. And if I'm standing on the Word, it doesn't matter what else is going on around about me. I have the Word, and the Word says to keep speaking, to keep speaking, to keep speaking, to keep speaking. Now, it does say I need to believe. You know, some people are speaking, but they don't believe. They're hoping that they can speak it into existence. And you know what? I believe. I serve the God of the impossible. See, my Bible says only believe that all things are possible to him that believes. So I believe. My God is able. Remember, my God turned the lights on in the beginning. My God created me from dust. And if he can do that, surely he can get rid of a virus or a disease or a financial situation. You know, sometimes you hear people, they're talking about, you know, they have some financial issues, you know, that they owe thousands of dollars. I'm thinking, but how big is your God? I know thousands of dollars can sound like a lot, but we serve a big God. Well, how is he going to do it? I don't know. Not up to me to tell you how. It's not up to me to tell you how. All it is up to me to do is tell you how to believe. How to believe. And what do? You keep speaking. And you keep speaking. And you keep speaking. And you keep speaking. Now it says, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. See, whenever I'm speaking, I'm planning for that to be removed. Not for it to hang around. You know, a lot of times they're okay. Well, as long as it doesn't affect me, it can hang around. No, I don't want it hanging around me. Right. All right. I don't want to be hanging around that situation. You know, it doesn't do me any good if the virus doesn't affect me, but affects everybody else I know. Right. I don't want to be hanging around. It says to not to be hanging around either, to be moved and cast into the sea. That means you realize if you were driving one day, and I realize we don't really have any mountains here in Oklahoma. Got a few hills, got some valleys, but no real mountain. But if you're driving in an area wherever you have some mountains, and you're driving to work one day, and the mountain that was there yesterday is gone, and then you happen to be close to a sea, and you notice that the mountain that was over here is over here now in the middle of this, in the sea or this ocean or whatever, that would kind of be a little freaky for you, right? But that's what Jesus says, that we got to believe that our mountains, not only, you know, will be uprooted, they'll be thrown away, you know, way across the place. Now, I think he used the sea because, you know, people think that people that are stranded in the middle of the ocean, you know, kind of like Gilligan and all those people, I mean, you know, they can't get to anybody. They're by themselves. So you know what? You're going to throw that situation that was bothering you, throw it into the sea so it can't bother anybody else. You know, but you know what? I think the main thing is we got to keep speaking. And I don't know, I just felt, I wasn't planning on talking about speaking a lot, right? But I just felt when I got up here that we need to keep saying, and we need to keep saying, we need to believe, but we need to keep saying, and keep saying, and keep saying. And when things look like they're getting worse, what do? We keep saying. Why? Because that's what God's word says to do. God's word says to say. To say. But God's word says that we're going to have whatever we saith. And so if you're not saying it, you're not going to have it, because you're going to have whatever you say. You know, and I believe it means whatever you keep saying, you're going to have whatever you keep saying. Because, you know, sometimes people say something and then, you know, maybe they, I've heard people, you know, they kind of get a confession of faith for something for like 2 or 3, 4 days, maybe a week. And all of a sudden they just forget about it and they just quit. I've seen people do it. I mean, they're like, well, I'm just tired of it. I'm not, you know, whatever. It's not going to happen anyway. I'm like, I've seen people do it all the time. You know, well, where's your faith? You couldn't even last a week. I mean, a week is not really that long. I know sometimes, you know, it takes, you know, things, man, that's a whole week. A week's not very long, really. Especially if you're counting like, you know, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. I mean, a week is like, you know, whatever. So, man, don't worry about it. Just keep saying, just keep believing that mountain has to leave. I don't care if every day you wake up and you drive to work and that mountain's still there. You know, a lot of times it seems whenever we're by ourselves in the car that the devil will try to talk to us and tell us how big our mountain is. You know, then get some good music and turn it up. I mean, you know, or I was actually singing this on the car on my way here, thinking about, you know, the Clinton Underbox song, Say to the Mountain, Move. You know, get out of my, I'm not going to sing because I'm a singer, so, you know, whatever. All right, I need to go on because I got 9 minutes, so we got to go to verse 24 here, because verse 24 was the one that really, that my grandfather got a hold of that really helped him. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now, the first thing that says is that what things soever you desire. Now, the one reason I wanted to read the King James is because the word desire is not in some of the newer translations. And I think there's a difference between desiring something and wanting something. And I think the difference, we can see that on the sports field many times. And you know, at the end of the day, they'll say, well, that team desired it more. They wanted it. I mean, you can want more, but it's when you desire something, you're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. I mean, I remember whenever I was a youth minister, and just like now, I mean, all these sneakers would come out all the time, you know, and these certain people in my youth group, I mean, they would want these certain kind of sneakers. And I know some of these people, I mean, just to be honest with you, they're pretty lazy, and they wouldn't do anything, man. When one of these new sneakers come out that I really wanted, they're over there trying to mow people's lawns. They're trying to do any kind of thing they could do. I mean, they're trying to beg their parents and, you know, do any kind of side work. I mean, you know, they're deciding, hey, they desire those sneakers so much that they're going to do things that they normally wouldn't do so they could get those sneakers. You know, even when they go talk to parents, they say, well, I'm not going to be able to buy those for you. Those are too expensive. And I mean, I saw this one guy. I mean, I don't think he's ever mowed a lawn in his life. And he went to every one of his neighbors and he asked them if he can mow their lawn. You know, and he told them exactly why. He says, I'm trying to raise money, you know, for something I really want. He didn't tell them what it was. You know, and people actually were giving him more money than he should be getting mowing that people's lawn. I think it's because they were so shocked he was actually mowing their lawn. But when you desire something, it's different than wanting something. Now, when my grandfather got a hold of this verse, he said, you know, I desire a well body more than anything else in this universe. And in fact, he actually began to speak to Jesus. He said, he says, I told the Lord that if you were here in person in front of me and you told me that I didn't desire a well body, I'd have to call you a liar. Because I desire a well body more than anything. You know, he was showing his commitment, how much he desired that. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, sometimes whenever there's something that we want, do we really desire it, or we just kind of want it? Do we really desire that well body? Or we just kind of want that well body? Do we really, really desire that money to be able to do whatever we need to do or be able to pay our bills? Or we just like to have it? Because there's a difference. If you desire something, you're willing to do whatever. And that's whenever, you know, I think that comes in line with what my dad talked about, the natural and the supernatural coming together makes us both a force for God. I think if you desire something, I always say if you desire a well body, you'll go to the doctor, find out first of all what's wrong with you. Second of all, if they have medication that might help. You know, because if you're not willing to go to the doctor, do you really desire a well body? I mean, whenever it comes to me, I want a well body. I'm going to do everything naturally and spiritually I can. You know, in fact, I learned that from my grandfather. My grandfather always went to the doctor whenever he had situations, because you know what he said, that I want to make sure I know how to pray for my situation. I want to make sure I'm speaking to the right thing. Just like the story I like to tell a lot about the gentleman who was having all kinds of pains, thinking they were heart pains, and he wouldn't go to the doctor because he was in fear. He was afraid what the doctor might say. That's kind of stupid. What, are you going to die in fear? Well, but he kept speaking to his heart and said, you know, heart, I command you to be well in Jesus' name. You know, he was saying the right things. It was great. Finally, his wife convinced him, you got to go to the doctor. He went to the doctor to find out he was having heartburn. It wasn't heart pains at all. It was his stomach. And although, and it says, brother so-and-so, your heart is perfect. Well, no doubt, he's been believing God for a perfect heart for a long time. And it wasn't helping him because he was still having those pains because he was having heartburn. And so now that he could take some medication and also speak to the right thing, he was speaking to the wrong thing because he was speaking to his heart when it wasn't his heart. The doctor said he had a perfect heart. Actually put him on the treadmill and said he did better than most people. Nothing to do with anything heart related. But he'd been speaking the wrong thing. So you know what? It's always good to speak the right thing. But when you desire a well body, like my grandfather says, he said, I desire a well body more than anything else. And then, you know, then the Lord spoke to him. He says, well, what do well people do at 10 a.m. in the morning? He says, well, they get up, and he got up. And I remember the story he talked about. He got up and he got a hold of the bedpost. And he was just hanging on the bedpost, basically, you know, what we call hanging on for dear life. And now most beds we have now don't have a bedpost. So some of you might know what a bedpost is, but it's at the base of the bed, there's a post that kind of went up and made of wood, some kind of fancy wood. And, you know, they had some of those beds like that when I was a kid, but they were kind of more like antique back then. But he got a hold of that bedpost and he held on. And he said, while he was holding on, all of a sudden something hit him on top of the head. And it felt like honey oozing from the top of his head. You know, we talk about from top of head to the soles of our feet. It said it ran through his whole entire body. And when that ran through his whole entire body, he says that it felt like pins and needles, you know, going off in his body, because he was paralyzed, partially paralyzed. And he says that if it didn't feel so good, it would have hurt so bad. You know, but because it felt like pins and needles going up, and when you haven't felt anything for a long time, it feels good to feel. And so it was like, you know, what happened was the nerves were awakening. Just like this morning, I don't know why or whatever, but I guess I was, the way I was laying or whatever in the bed, that my leg was asleep. And I got up, and I wasn't able to walk because I had to kind of hold on, and the blood was rushing down, you know, through my leg, and so I could actually walk. You know, the blood was, you know, and so it didn't really hurt, but kind of felt weird. But, you know, I was thinking this morning, you know, how much even different, how much more it kind of probably hurt when you have nerves that hadn't even worked in a long time begin to pop open. And, you know, they all happened because he got a hold of a couple of verses in the Bible. And he began to speak. And he began to believe, and he began to have a desire. And when he did, it changed his life. And not only did it change his life, it changed my life and it changed your life. Because one man got a hold of a couple of verses in the Bible. Think if more of us could get a hold of more verses in the Bible. How life-changing it could be. Think if we would get more serious about what the Bible says. And we'll actually do what the word of God says. And we'll actually speak to our mountains. And we'll actually desire a well body. You know, it says here, it says, therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Notice it says you shall have them when you pray. It doesn't say you're going to have them whenever you have them. It says you're going to have them whenever you pray, before you see it. Now, you might not see the answer immediately, but that doesn't matter, because you're going to keep saying and you're going to keep believing and you're going to keep having even when you don't see it. Then one day you're going to wake up and go, man, that happened. But you know what? That happened when you prayed. You're just seeing the results later on. Just like Hebrews 11 says, you know, now our faith is the evidence of things we don't see. We have the evidence even when we don't see it. We don't have to see it to believe it. We know we have it because we know that we serve an awesome God. We serve a God that's more than enough. We serve the God that's exceedingly, abundantly, does more than we can ask or think. And I can think and ask about for a lot. But we serve the pressed down, shaken together, running over God. We serve the El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. And folks, I don't care if you just need enough. He's going to give you more than enough, because that's the God that we serve. We serve the God that's able. And, you know, and the way that our God is going to work in our life is for us to say to our mountain, for us to begin to speak, for us to begin to desire, for us to begin to have. It's just that simple. And it doesn't matter that if we speak and things don't happen, we're not moved by what we see. Faith is an unquestioning belief. There is no question. It's happening in my life. Things are changing. Why? Because God said so. I'm speaking to my mountain. I'm speaking to my disease. I'm speaking to my physical situation, whatever it might be. And I'm going to keep speaking, and I'm going to keep speaking. And when things seem worse, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep speaking, and I'm going to keep speaking, and I'm going to keep speaking, and I'm going to keep speaking. And as long as my situation is not changing, I'm going to keep speaking. Then one day I'm going to have to quit speaking anymore, because I'm going to see the answer. But you know what? I believe I have the answer today as I speak the word. And so do you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for this old school word, Mark chapter 11, verses 22, 23, and 24. And we thank you, Father, that that word still works today. That word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That word is still the same as it was the day that my grandfather walked off the deathbed. And we thank you, Father, that we can use that word. And that word is life-changing to us. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our life. And we thank you that you're ministering to us like never before. Thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Let's all stand up. You know, we live in a world that's pretty strange right now. But you know what? It's us, up to us Christians, to speak to our world, speak to our situation, speak to what's going on in our life, and things are changing. Amen.